is up, my people? Welcome back to another episode of Authentic Shameless Self. I am your host, Deja Monet. I hope you're doing well today. As you can tell from the title, today we are getting into, I guess what I'll call a two-part series of masculinity and femininity. Did I say that right? Anyways, y'all. Masculine and feminine energy. We're starting off today with feminine energy and the differences, definitions, my opinion. If you're new to the podcast, welcome, welcome. There's a little bit of structure that goes on over here. So let me break it down for you real quick. First, I'll go over some facts, and that's simply just some research that I did on the World Wide Web. And I like to gather just some bits and pieces of information from different sources as it pertains to the topic. And then I'll go into my opinion because I fully acknowledge that my opinion is not fact. After that, I'll give you a little story time. And that could be something I've personally experienced or witnessed. And then we're going to wrap it on up with a challenge that you can take back into your everyday life, do with friends, family, your partner, whoever, and apply it. Have some conversation going on amongst yourselves. So, feminine energy today, shameless feminine energy. Let's get into it. So first, we're going to start off, of course, with a definition. Today's definition comes from dictionary.com, and it says the term feminine energy combines the word feminine, which refers to something that is related to women or females, and energy, which refers to power or a source of power. Feminine energy is often described as an invisible energetic force that's related to traits such as compassion and empathy that has been stereotypically associated with women. So we know that within the definition, within itself, it stems from stereotypes, or so it is to be believed. I think it's quite interesting. While I was doing my research, I came across a list of healthy and unhealthy feminine and masculine traits. This list came from Carla DeCosta, on her blog or on their blog. And I'm not quite sure what the date of this literature is, but on her website, she has a cute post that titles "The Importance of Being in Our Feminine Energy Within." Quite an interesting read, but I was more so interested in the list of healthy and unhealthy feminine and masculine traits. Just a reminder, this episode we're focusing on feminine, but next episode, the very next one, episode 4, we're gonna get into that shameless masculinity. So I will not be going over the healthy and unhealthy masculine traits now, but I will put the link to this blog down below so you can access it, have fun with it on your free time. So, unhealthy feminine traits: insecure, needy, manipulative, chases love, victim, afraid of loss, critical of loved ones, desperate. Okay. Yeah. Healthy feminine traits: creates, births, and manifests. Vibrates with energy and sound, flows, surrenders, vulnerable, playful, intuitive, authentic. That's quite interesting. You know what else I find interesting? That there are many colleges that have women's studies as a program. I didn't find any particular that specifically denotes men's studies as a direct minor or major in a academia program. I find that quite interesting. I see gender studies, women's studies. I see different cultures and religions in studies. But even throughout something as specific as Asian studies or African American studies, going back to gender, I have really only been able to find women's and gender studies program, but not something specific to men. I did find that there's one actually course specific at the Indiana University of Pennsylvania College that focuses on men and masculinities. Again, that's a course, not an entire major or a minor. And I'm just curious as to why that is. That just pegs me to question, are women that complex that women require whole programs of study at university? I find that quite interesting. And then that pegged a follow-on question of, okay, if this is a major or a minor, what exactly is outlined within this concentration? And what jobs come from this? So I dug a little deeper, specifically at Georgetown University, which I thought was regarded as like a prestigious college. Opinion there, just opinion. But it says that under the concentration of women's and gender study program, there are five areas in concentration, which includes globalization and poverty, social justice and violence, sexuality studies, culture and media, representations of gender and race and racism. Are the different concentrations therein? Very, very interesting to me. I'm not quite sure what to make of it. But as I continued on to research and actually have a conversation, I do find it useful, I guess, in like a social worker aspect or something that has to deal with anatomy, or if you're a doctor, I can kind of see how, like specifically if you're in like gynecology. But then that's not really what any of these topics focus on. Like, obviously, social justice and violence, that has nothing to do with a gynecologist. So why is it that would fall under women's and genders, women's being singled out, but there's no men's studies? Curiosity. So anyways, Let me get off that and get into my opinion. When it comes to this list that I spoke of earlier about unhealthy and healthy feminine traits, I would like to debunk it. Simply because I believe that men can be insecure and needy and manipulative, and they can also chase love or play victim or be afraid of loss or critical of their loved ones or be desperate. I think it's interesting to call those unhealthy feminine traits that I just reiterated feminine at all, when to me it's just simply humans. Humans can flow and surrender and be vulnerable and playful and intuitive and authentic. I don't see why feminine has to be attached to that attribute. I guess the only thing that would not be of just a human trait is the simple anatomy of women can give birth, in which there are some species that are not of human that the male species actually gives birth. But that is a whole nother topic. So when it comes to feminine energy, I want to push it to you. What comes to mind? Getting into a very short story time, I actually heard maybe from the time that I was 15, sometimes I would randomly get complimented on how I carry myself. And I remember being at work in high school one time. Fun fact, I worked at a call center, being a telemarketer at the young age of 16. And I remember one of my coworkers walking up to me. I guess, you know, they was having their little work chit chat. And they're like, "Hey, Deja, just random question. Do you live with your dad? Or like, are you being raised by your dad?" And I said, "Yes. My dad's a single parent." And they respond with, "See, I knew it. I could tell." And I go, how would you know that? And the response amongst the group was, "Because of how you carry yourself. Like, you just have this energy, the way you do your work, focus, the way you speak. It's just like we can kind of tell who has a father in their life versus who does not." And I thought that was very particular. And I wasn't sure if it was rooted in assumption or ignorance or stereotype. But that is definitely a conversation that has stayed with me as I continue to hear it throughout time. That somehow me carrying myself as a lady or being more on the quiet, reserved side because that was my energy, or maybe even my RBF, which is definitely still prevalent today, decades later. I guess that, within its own right, meant I had a certain kind of feminine energy that I carry. And to this day, I can't quite pinpoint exactly what those individuals thought they saw. But I guess they were onto something, because they were right. I had a very close relationship with my dad and was raised by him. Never was in my household without him. Like, there was no prolonged absence. So is there something to be said? I'm not sure. You tell me, what are your thoughts of that whole scenario? Because even over a decade later, I do find it quite interesting. Do people that identify as a woman or carry heavy feminine energy, is there a difference in how that energy is expressed due to their upbringing? My short answer assumption is yes. I think that on the flip side, even a man that was raised with a certain level of nurture and care and softness, they may not be hard or rugged or cold or whatever is the opposite of feminine. But then, is that really to call it, like, do we call nurturing a feminine trait? Should it be? And is that simply because women have always been told to be the nurturing homemaker? Now we're getting into history and just the roles that were put on women that were not necessarily chosen for themselves. But I can tell you right now, I know quite a few women. They are not nurturing. Not a nurturing bone in their body. But it's probably expected because they identify as a woman. Do you see the distinction there? I think I made my point. So the challenge for you today is, of course, to have a conversation. Pick your favorite person and sit down and ask them, whether you're a man or a woman or identify as they, them, just ask, what do you think defines someone as feminine? Like, what do you think feminine traits are? Do you think I embody any? Again, regardless of your actual gender or how you actually identify, just have a fun little pop quiz of, what do you think feminine is? And do you think I embody any of those attributes? And then play devil's advocate. And really dig deeper to see, is this a feminine trait that I've just associated because of roles that have been dictated throughout history? Or is this really just a human trait? And really just, you know, question yourself a little bit. Nothing major. So that is the episode for today. I do hope y'all enjoy. Don't forget the next episode is Shameless Masculinity. And I'm pretty confident it's going to go similar to this episode. Obviously, the focus slightly different. But I'm pretty sure my opinion will stand that humans are humans. And the attributes could go really either way. So again, I hope y'all enjoyed. Make sure that you follow, whether you're listening on Spotify for Creators or Apple Podcasts. Feel free to reach out to me across any social media platform. The ones I am most active on these days are Instagram and Threads. So make sure you pop on over to those. Let me know if there's any topics you'd like to discuss in particular that you'd like me to do a little researchy on and share facts, opinions, a story time, and give you a challenge. I'm always open to new ideas. So until then, I hope you stay safe. I hope you stay in love, stay surrounded by love, and I'm gonna see you on the next episode. Much love.